an awkward handy dinner belted, and what the heck? Just hang it out and talk and dance stuff.
Don't give school dads any dad guff.
So take a knee, use inside voices. We're talking no malarkey, tire pressure, playing catch, time a corner, doing raids. It's your bedtime, eat your veggies. Pull up a lawn chair and open some suds. Crack some dad jokes with these dad buds. You better behave or they'll turn this damn car right around. Radioactive Dads.
Nathan, can I tell you a story?
Oh, I love when an episode of Radioactive Dad starts with, Nathan, can I tell you a story? Yes, Brett, you may tell me a story.
This one's about the girl.
Oh, boy. Okay, continue.
Well, we might start calling her the hall monitor.
or the
boss or the warden or the authority figure, because she is the word police around the house now.
Wow.
And there's two words that she does not want to hear. And she will yell at you immediately.
Yikes.
If you even think about saying the word stupid, oh man. She will, like from across the house, she will be like, don't do it! Like the other night, sitting around the kitchen table, I guess Mrs. Davern, she was more in the kitchen, like cleaning up or doing whatever. And I was like standing there talking to her. And the girl was sitting at the kitchen table, sort of playing. But it was that thing where she's just kind of doing her thing. So we're not really paying attention to her at the moment. We're just talking. Uh-huh. And out of nowhere, she looks up. She goes, the girl does. She looks up. She goes, hey, 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 hey. She starts yelling at us. And we turn around. We're like, what's up? And she goes, we don't say stupid. And we were like, did someone say stupid? And she's like, mommy did. Like, I look back at her, I was like, did you? She's like, I don't know, maybe like a couple sentences ago, but I didn't think about it. It's pretty funny. And then if she hears the word poop, especially if it's around the dinner table, oh, you will be told that that is a no-no.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Where did that come from? You guys saying you don't say poop?
I guess.
And then
so.
she just took it just very seriously then.
Yeah, I mean, I think they pick up words from these TV shows, and dude, we're sheltered in place, so we're watching some TV now.
Oh boy, oh yeah. No,
all bets are off. And so I've noticed that even these kids' shows, even on PBS, they will say the word stupid. I've noticed that. And more so than when we were kids, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't really care. Words are words, man. I think I've even said this on this show before, one of the other podcasts. Like, to me, I really don't care what you say. It's more about the intention and how you say it and how you use it. And, you know, are you using it properly in context, blah, blah, blah. But I don't really get, like, I'm not, like, triggered by just words.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really bother me, but I noticed that the boy and the girl started saying it to each other, like, oh, that's stupid, or hey, you're stupid, or he said, like, you're stupid, and I was like, whoa, whoa, hey.
Yeah.
we don't say it like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And since then, now she just, if she even just hears it, you know, like, I could say, like, oh, man, the weather's really stupid outside today, and she's like, daddy, we don't say stupid. And I'm like, all right. I guess you're right.
Oh, man. So have you tried? Because that's the thing. It's like, there's, you know, like you said, it's a big difference between, oh, this is stupid and you're stupid.
Right.
So, you know, making a comment about the nature of something versus insulting someone, is she at a point where you think you'd be able to draw that connection? Or are you kind of just saying,
no.
Okay, sorry.
No, yeah, she does. No, I tried like the first time, you know?
Yeah.
But here's how the conversation goes. She says, daddy, we don't say stupid. And then I say, yes, I understand that, my darling, but I'm just saying that it's raining and that's stupid. It's not, I'm not calling the rain stupid. And I start trying to explain it. And in the middle of me explaining it, she cuts me off and she says, but we don't say it. And then I go, yeah, all right, just go play with your Legos. Go. It's okay. We'll tackle this one a little bit later.
Yeah, yeah. That's so good. Oh, man.
From my car, Lee, it's Nathan Crest.
I dread the day when that starts happening.
It's going to happen, man.
I know.
You're going to be censored. You're going to be censored by someone who is much smaller than you and probably is, you know, wearing diapers or not, or just ate something off the rug or whatever. They, mm-hmm. they're going to come down hard on you.
Yep, yep. And they're,
you never thought it would happen.
For how small they are, it's amazing how loud they can be about it when they set their mind to it and they feel very, very strongly about a certain topic.
And they win the argument by just repeating the same argument over and over and over.
Right. Yeah. Rosie, literally 2 days ago, she started saying, she would just say, make a statement followed by the word because, and then repeating the statement. Uh-huh. So it's like, yeah. I want that because I want that.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I can't argue with that.
No.
I think she just won.
They're the world's greatest lawyers.
They really are.
It's amazing.
The quality of argument is truly unparalleled. And yeah. Today, I was like, hey, you know, we had our eggs. Let's have some raspberries now. And she was like, I won't because I won't.
Right.
I was like, well, dang it.
You're like, okay, well, that's case closed, I guess.
I guess that's the end of that.
Yeah.
You win.
They would stand up and say, Your Honor, my client is innocent. Because he didn't do it.
Like, okay. And the defense rests.
And the defense rests. Yeah.
Yeah. Wish it was that easy. It's interesting. I wonder if she's kind of like you said, sort of observing that from TV and the responses of it. Because I honestly, it's been the same thing over here. There's definitely been an uptick in TV watching because we're just starting to run out of stuff to do and she's not napping anymore. So we just have to, you know, sometimes I got to do some work and mom's got to do something else. And that's the only option now. So the problem is sometimes she's actually officially starting to absorb some things that I'd rather not. Like, for example, for the first time in my life, I'm a little bit upset with Daniel Tiger. Because to preface, Rosie is a fearless, fearless child. She doesn't know how to be afraid of anything at all. And she goes into everything with the gusto of, you know, an innocent child who doesn't know that anything bad can happen to her. So she's never been afraid of anything environmental, anything in her world whatsoever, the dark or anything.
I think I know the episode and exactly where you're going with this, and you can't see me right now, but I'm nodding vigorously.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I think you're going through what I've already been through. So keep going.
All right. I'm actually okay. All right. There's one word that I think encapsulates this episode, and I'm gonna count to three. And even though there's a delay on this, and it's probably not gonna work, I want to see if we say the same word about what this episode was about that you think that I might be upset about.
Okay.
Just one word.
Yeah, okay.
All right, here we go. So on three, one, two, three, thunder.
Camping. Oh.
I don't think I've seen the camping one. That one might be behind the paywall. Or is it the one where they're like afraid of the dark and the shadows and stuff? Is that what you're talking about? Where
they're
backyard
like afraid
camping?
Afraid of everything, yes.
Yes, yes. I think it is that actual, I think it's that same episode because it's him and Prince Wednesday, right?
Right.
And they're doing the sleepover, but then they're also at Daniel's house and there's a thunderstorm.
I think so. So, I think it might be the same episode because it talks about, it's all about fear and being scared of something. And instead of being afraid of it, going and investigating it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I think.
So yeah, no, that is the same episode then. So yeah, we're on the same page here because.
Wow. All we didn't even talk about this beforehand either.
No, we didn't. This is how just so on the same page
100%, we are. 100% real. We do not prepare for this episode.
Never. We literally just said, hit record with no plan whatsoever.
That's crazy. Wow. Yeah, same episode.
So I'm a little bit upset because now, suddenly, Rosie has learned the phrase, I'm scared.
Yes.
For no reason. She was never afraid of anything. And now she'll just come up and say, Mommy, Daddy, I'm scared. And we'll say, what are you scared of? And most of the time, it'll just be, I'm scared because I'm scared. And again, we can't fight that. So,
right.
But one time though, It's here in California, let's be clear, it's been 90 degrees and brilliantly sunny for about 2 months now. And all of a sudden she comes up and says, "Daddy, I'm scared." And I go, "Well, Rosie, what are you scared of?" She goes, "The thunder." I was like, "Well, wait a minute. There is no thunder. Are you literally just recalling an episode of Daniel Tiger where there was thunder and you're scared of it? Because there's no thunder. What's happening?"
That's exactly what she's doing.
And I'm not a fan of that, because I get what they're trying to do of teaching kids how to cope with being scared about things. But now I had this child who was not scared of anything, and she has learned to be scared because of the episode that's supposed to teach you about not being scared of things.
Well, let me calm you down. Okay. Let me calm you down. I'm so glad you brought this up. Let me talk you and walk you back off of this ledge.
I'm right on. I'm about to jump off, Brett. You need to help me.
Well, I will help you right after we take a break. We'll be right back.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Nathan. So let me help you out with this, because I've already been through it. And it was caused by the exact same episode of Daniel Tiger. It's episode 118, and it's entitled A Stormy Day.
Yep. I love that you know that.
My son is in love with Daniel Tiger, still is, even though he's a little too old for it, but he's got a reverence for that you know, stuffed tiger. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he watched the same episode and the same thing started happening to him. He all of a sudden started saying he was afraid of everything, including the things that he wasn't afraid of the day before.
Hmm.
And I, like you, kind of wigged out a little bit. I was like, uh-oh. This is what happens when they watch TV. This, everybody told me, shouldn't have let it happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this happened to him about the same age that Rosie is now. So it's 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago?
Yeah.
About is when this was going on with him.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, he's fine now. It's all good.
Okay.
So first, let me allay the fear that, like, there's any permanent damage done.
Okay.
What I can tell you is, what happens is he'll, you know, be standing on the edge of the pool or something, and he'll say, "I don't want to jump in. I'm scared." And it just takes me now the extra beat to go, "There's no reason to be scared. It's just water. You've done it before. You've done it with dad in the pool. You've done it with dad not in the pool. And you're going to be fine. Go ahead." And then he does, and he loves it, and he's fine. I would say this, like, little bit of healthy fear that he has over the thing, and then you explain it, is actually a good thing.
Yeah.
And, like, now she's aware of thunder and what thunder is, and it's been explained to her. And so instead of just being out in the woods at 11 and hearing thunder for the first time and thinking the world is exploding, you know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe now you've gotten a chance to explain it, and also to explain what fears are and what being scared is, and that it's okay to share with you, and, like, all of those things. And I'm just telling you that the absolutely not going to do it because she's saying she's afraid, that's just a phase that happens right at the beginning. And you can massage this into a healthy fear of whatever it is, and then getting over that fear. And to me, I think that's better than just blindly not being afraid of anything.
Yeah, I get that. And that's true. It might take a little bit of time, unfortunately.
It will.
Because as much as I've tried to be rational and explain the things right now, it's just, I'm scared because I'm scared. And that's the end of the discussion, and there's really nothing that I can say yet.
Well, I think it's all about you just continuing to have confidence, and I know you do, but it's continuing to speak to her and talk to her, especially in those situations, with the confidence that, you know, you've done it before, you know, there's nothing to fear or whatever, and they'll follow you again. Mm-hmm. They will, I promise you. So don't wig out too bad. But this exact same thing happened. Exact same thing happened. And we had to have the talk in the evening where I was like, again, I was like, did we ruin him? Oh, no.
Yeah.
The little boy who was never afraid of anything is now not doing any of those things. And it was like, I don't know. We'll just have to see what happens and remain steady. And it all worked out. So
right. Exactly. Well, then, so I guess the question is, like, I think obviously it's important to cover the idea of how to explain fear and whether it's rational or not. But I guess that's the thing, is I still don't want her to be timid about stuff because I love this right. attitude that she has. So like, what is that healthy level of fear? Like what, where does that stop? You know?
Well, see, this is what I'm saying. I hope this is going to be the case for you. I don't think she will remain timid of everything is what I'm saying. I think what happens is, because, I mean, dude, right now, he's jumping off. Like, the way that our pool is set up, there's, like, a back wall to it that goes up onto this, like, riser thing. It's kind of hard to explain over the radio here. But on the backside, there's, like, this wall that is the edge of the pool that sits about, like, 5 or 6 feet above the pool, okay? Mm. There's a railing and everything up there. It's all super safe. But if you go on the other side of the railing, you can now jump off of this, like, 5-foot ledge into the pool, and it's a lot of fun, right?
Uh-huh.
Right after watching, so he had been doing that, and I'd been in there catching him, and then he had his floaty on, and he would like to just do it by himself, and he was fine, and everyone's standing right there, and it's all safe. Don't tweet me. So he was doing it, and then he watched this episode of Daniel Tiger, and then he got super timid and didn't want to do it anymore. And then I had to stand at the bottom and show all the confidence, and you've done it before, and there's nothing to be scared of, and daddy's right here, and all that. And then you slowly worked him back up to it. And now, this is what I'm saying, at 5.5, it just is that when he stands up there now, he has a brief moment of thinking about it, and then he does it.
Yeah.
But he's not like on his tippy toes going like, and like, you know, teeth chattering and all that. It's right. That's not happening. But yeah. So the healthy fear is that brief moment in which you think, should I jump off this? And to me, I mean, come on, that's only a good thing. So hopefully in high school, he's thinking, should I do this keg stand right now? You know what I mean? Like that's, you just want that moment of thinking about it.
Right. Before you inevitably do the keg stand, you mean?
Yes. Because you're going to do it anyway, but you want to think about it.
Just consider the ramifications before you do the thing that's illegal and you probably shouldn't be doing.
Well, let me ask you, would you rather have your 17-year-old someday have had their whole 17 years of their life leading up to that point just never thinking about anything and jumping off of everything and never being afraid of whatever? I mean, they're going to be
true.
An animal at those parties, you know? I want them to have that brief moment, you know? So I think it's about you now just sort of, and I know you will, and you probably are already, just like, you know, helping her through that.
Yeah.
And there is a light at the end of that tunnel.
Yeah, that's good. I feel like my struggle right now is trying to figure out how to not instill the unhealthy fear. But like, for example, she loves bugs. And she loves watching them and sometimes touching them and everything else. And that's generally fine, but it's hard to explain to a 2-year-old the difference between touching a roly-poly is okay, but you don't want to touch that dead bee and you don't want to touch that spider. And trying to teach them the difference, because bumblebees in all the cartoons and all of her toys are adorable and squishy and fuzzy and fun to touch and smiley and they never sting anyone. So it's really hard. She has a toy, one of those kind of jelly bouncy bumblebees that you can like ride on and bounce on and stuff. She thinks that thing's hilarious and she touches the stinger on the back of it, the little round nubby thing, and goes, sting! So she thinks that getting stung is a tickle, like a hilarious
Well, you know what you
thing.
Should do? You got to show her the movie My Girl. You know, maybe she's a little bit too young, but Macaulay Culkin's character in My Girl dies from being stung by too many bees.
That's true.
That'll
maybe.
Bring that fear in right away.
Yeah.
I spent from like 8 to 12 being so afraid of bees because of that movie. I was like, he died? Oh, man.
You can
I'm never
do
going
that
outside again. that'll change that in a hurry.
Do you think the release of My Girl is what caused the mass extermination of the bee population
maybe.
In the world?
Maybe. I mean, she's far too young for My Girl, so don't. But
yeah,
you know, maybe.
Yeah, there's other heavy stuff to deal with there. But yeah, maybe that's the explanation for why the bees are all dying. Everyone's been asking that, but it might just be Macaulay Culkin and My Girl.
It might be. It might be. I mean, it's just, it's going, like, the healthy fear is it's going to just happen is what I'm saying. Like, you just got to remain steady and it'll just, because you're there to teach her and London's there to teach her and every, you know, anybody is there to teach the difference. And so you'll be right there the whole time, and then it'll just start to lock itself in as you go forward, you know?
Yeah.
But also at the same time, by the way, like, you want them to tell you when they're afraid rather than just laying there in their bed or whatever and hearing thunder and being scared to death, but never bringing it up because they think they can't or something. Yeah. So I'd say, you know, for all my like being angry at the Daniel Tiger episode that I was as well, I think with perspective, you go like, well, but it's a good thing to share your feelings because then you can talk them out rather than just keeping them pent up inside, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. Fostering the communication is out of all of that, for good or bad, depending on how they react to it, them knowing that they can come and talk to you about whatever the thing is probably the most important thing.
Well, and especially stuff they're afraid of, because as they get into their adolescence, like, there's tons of things to be afraid of in terms of, like, social things, bullies, you know, all kinds of things. And you want them to come share those things. So,
right. Yeah.
I think it's good. I think it's good. And it's good that you're aware that there's a difference between timid and that healthy fear that we're talking about, and you'll steer her in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But it is kind of annoying at first. You do kind of hate that tiger for a second.
Yeah. I love him for all the things that he taught about potty training and all things that he taught about sharing and all the things that he taught about trying new foods, but doggone it, he had a pitfall. But, you know, no show is perfect. There's all, you know, you gotta navigate all of the issues. Like, oh my gosh, Corey Carson, have you seen that one?
What? I don't know what you're talking about, no.
It's like a little cartoon about a little boy who's a car, and the whole universe is cars, like everyone's vehicles and stuff. And it's super adorable, but there's an episode where he has a little sister, and she starts copying him.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. Oh. So now
what happens?
Well, so at first I thought, oh, this is risky because now she's going to start copying us. But then she had a phase where for days she just walked around going, stop copying me. Even though we weren't doing anything. We weren't even talking. She'll just come up and like start going, no, 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 no. Stop copying me. I'm like, Rosie, we're not even saying anything at all. We can't copy you if you're not saying anything and we're not saying anything. So that was its own thing of like just those behaviors and stuff that are not ideal coming out full force. And fortunately, like you said, it's phases. So it only took a few days, but those few days were so annoying.
It's like, you know, there's like the age old, there's the age old saying, people in the Midwest say this, like, well, if you don't like the weather in South Dakota, just wait 5 minutes, like that kind of thing. It'll blow over, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's almost something with kids where it's like, if you don't like that behavior or that thing they're doing, just work on it for 3 days or five days or whatever it is. There's, because it's not, you can't just sit there and let it blow over like the weather, but you can take it in, talk with your partner about it, you know, sit in some self-reflection about it and figure out what you're going to do to then nurture, foster, massage, whatever word you want to use, to smooth that out a little bit.
Right.
Because you can do something. You have power. Nothing is forever.
Right.
I mean, look at how much they change just on a weekly basis themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that literally happened the other night. Like, she was doing this thing where she keeps, like, we're trying to like, make her use these big girl cups, and she kept, like, sticking her hand, like, really forcefully down in it, and it would keep knocking it over because it would slip. And I kept telling her, Rosie, you got to stop doing that. You're losing all of your drinks because you're pushing on this thing, and that's not what cups are for. And see, you spilled your drink all over the place, and now you don't have any left. And she wouldn't stop doing it. And I finally started breaking out a little bit of dad voice because she did it. And I said, if you do it again, we're going to have trouble. And by the time I finished that sentence and turned around, she had her hand back on that cup and was pushing on it. And what was interesting was for the first, it wasn't even anger out of my voice. It was like disappointment. And I think she picked up on that. Of just that feeling of, I'm hurt that you would disobey me that immediately after I said something like that, and I know you understood me. So that actually kind of hurts my feelings. And she lost it. Just absolute meltdown, even though I barely said anything. I think it was just like the look on my face. And she...
Dad's not angry. He's just disappointed.
Yeah. I finally feel the power of that, because she didn't pick, she didn't pick up on that at all when she was younger. But boy, that was the first time where I was like, oh my gosh, this is a thing now, maybe. And so she like started screaming and crying. And I just sat there and I had my hand on her shoulder and was just trying to very gently talk to her. But the problem was then, so Lennon was outside working on some gardening or something. She heard the commotion and came inside and didn't really know what was going on. And I couldn't really explain it to her in time. And she came in and saw Rosie was crying, and Rosie saw her and did the whole, you know, reach out to her, mommy, mommy, and, you know, brought her over. And obviously London, being the good mom that she is, started comforting her, you know, sure, and just sort of hugged her in the high chair. And she, Rosie calmed down like immediately. And, you know, she was still doing that. That whole thing for a while, which is so sad and adorable.
I know. Heartbreaking.
And like, it was kind of right before bed, so it made her super tired, so she couldn't even open her eyes anymore. So she was starting to fall asleep in London's arms in the high chair. It was so cute, but sad at the same time. But then I noticed she started smiling while she was like doing this crying thing. And the funny part is, so... She just started saying, I'm tired. And even though she'd barely eaten anything, we said, well, do you want to just go to bed? And she said, yes. And then we took her out of the high chair, and London was still holding her. And I could see, she does this funny thing where when we tell her to close her eyes, she can't just close them. She pinches them so hard and it makes her smile. Like you see teeth like involuntarily. And it looks like she's just like smiling so hard that it's like making her shut her eyes. And all of a sudden I could see she didn't just have her eyes closed because she was tired anymore. She was closing them on purpose and she was smiling about it. So she knew that she was manipulating that situation to get out of the feeling of me being disappointed and the retribution that comes that by looking to London and saying, oh, mom, you know, I can make mom a sucker right now because she doesn't know what's going on. I can use this and get out of this situation and just get to go straight to bed and mommy can carry me and I don't have to deal with dad anymore and him talking to me about the thing that I did wrong. And she's just grinning all the way up the stairs. And Lennon was like, do you want daddy to come with you and talk with you? She's like, no, bye-bye, daddy, go away, just mommy. So she and you know, at that point I wasn't going to fight it because I didn't want a whole extra meltdown situation. But I was like, oh my gosh, she just played this whole thing in front of my eyes. And she was just with this poop eating grin all the way upstairs. And I didn't know what to do. So all I could do was after she went down, Lennon and I had to talk about it. I was like, I don't know if you could see because she was over your shoulder, but she just played this whole thing and we have to come up with a code word or something to show when we're in a situation like that, either one of us follows the other's lead or don't go straight to the comforting thing, because she has now learned that first time that she can manipulate that situation. And if she tries it again and it works again, we have a habit now. It was the first time where I almost felt like she was maybe outsmarting us, and it felt dangerous. This age freaks me out, man. Two and a half is where you got to stay really on your toes. I'm scared of this child. She's getting good, and I don't know if the code word is going to be enough. It's going to be an adventure.
Well, we'll find out what the code word is right after this.
You're getting so good at these, Brad.
All right, what's the code word?
Shenanigans. Shenanigans! Play along! Shenanigans! And she'll never understand what that is. So yeah, that's the code word.
That's good.
But hey, we have another time. I talked about this last week. We have a user listener question that I definitely want to get to this week. So we'll talk about this on this last part.
Okay.
I wish we tried to go back and find this message and the name of this person, but it has just kind of disappeared. So I wish I could repeat the name or read the full message from this user, but you will know who you are when we talk about this. This person asked, essentially, who does the cooking in the house, and do you enjoy it? Has it changed during lockdown? Is there more of a change in the norm there? And what the deal is with cooking in the Davern and Cress houses? Who does what? Who likes what? So
man,
I thought that was kind of
a rambling way to ask that question. Man,
well,
it was a
relatively. There was a multiple sentence question. I can't remember exactly what it was, so I'm trying
to
paraphrase. Shut up, Brett.
I'm just giving you crap. Okay, I'll answer first. For the most part, you know what? Honestly, it's pretty much 50-50 on who does the cooking, I'd say, actually. Yeah. I'd say that Mrs. Davern does more of the planning on what's going to be for dinner. She kind of has an idea about it, like, you know, whenever I'll just say, oh, what are we having tonight? She'll go, oh, tacos. And then I'll go, oh, okay. And then we'll both sort of just cook it together pretty much. Like I'll go like, oh, you thinking about doing ground turkey? Okay, cool. I'll do that. Why don't you shred some cheese? And she's like, cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like I'll say, oh, okay, that's easy enough. I got that. And then I'll just pretty much do it by myself. Or she'll just say, yeah, I got it. And then she does it. But we just kind of play it by ear. And I'd say it really does work out to be, I mean, maybe it's 55-45, 60-40, or 50-50, but it's right in there somewhere.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, honestly.
And we just have the staples that we make, because we both make everything pretty much the same way by now, you know? And
right.
We got all the, you kind of know what's going on. Like, if she wants to try something new, she'll try something new, and so that'll be her night to cook. And then if I want to, but I'm a open the pantry, open the refrigerator, figure something out kind of a cook.
Oh, just a winger.
Yeah. And she can totally do that too, but she also is likes to find a recipe and then give something new a shot as well. Kind of a cook, which I'm just kind of, I don't really do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you. Well, okay. So between no one's going to know about this. This is just a conversation between you and me.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Do you think, who do you think's the better cook overall?
Oh, that's interesting. I think that I am better. I just felt her clutching the kitchen counter as she's listening to this. calm down a second. I feel like I am better, and I think she would even admit, as far as, like I said, just opening the refrigerator and putting stuff together and having it taste good at the end and not having it be necessarily something even recognizable.
Yeah.
But sort of going like, well, this is almost an enchilada, like that kind of thing, and having it be good, right?
Yeah, enchilada adjacent.
But she is definitely better at being more inventive and wanting to try something different from a recipe and then sticking to that recipe. Like, I get myself in trouble by trying to improve upon the recipe, and then it's like, oh, yeah, this is too salty. My bad. Like, that kind of thing. So I think we both have our strengths, but in terms of, like, if we were on Chopped and they just gave you a basket of ingredients, I think I would win that one.
Interesting.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can see
now
that.
That
makes
sense. What's your story?
Yeah, so it's remarkably similar to yours. I think so much of that comes from the fact that we have the jobs that we have where there is no schedule. So there's some days where we are at an audition in Midtown until 6. And so we won't be involved at all. Or there's days where we're completely free or we're working on something at the house where we're able to do a little bit, but not the whole thing. And then there's days where we take over and do the deal and give them time off or let them do whatever they want to do. So it really is a highly flexible and fluid situation. But there are, like you said, there are definite strong suits. Like, I am pretty unequivocally the breakfast guy. So which I feel like is kind of classic dad fare to me. Like, I always remember, I feel like my dad was kind of the breakfast. Well, it wasn't even so much that he was the breakfast guy, but that was just the only thing he could cook. So whenever it was dad's turn to do dinner or my mom wasn't there or whatever, it was like, okay, breakfast for dinner, boys.
Breakfast for dinner. It's the best. Breakfast for dinner is great.
Yeah, man.
We do it all the time.
Yeah.
We do that a lot, actually. Yeah. And also, it's, you know, like you're talking about going vegan and stuff lately. It's, if you do it, it's pretty much vegetarian if you leave the bacon and stuff out of it. You got the eggs, so that's not vegan, but
right.
You can still be vegetarian. You just do eggs, potatoes, some toast, some fruit, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, that meal itself is not that hard to do. Like you said, I mean,
it's a good way
so
to
good,
take
though.
A break off of meat if you want.
Yeah.
If you're looking,
yeah.
Like if you want to get into that like meatless Monday thing, if you're listening out there and you kind of want to have one day a week or you're trying to cut back or something, just make breakfast for dinner. It's a really, because you know exactly what to make and everyone loves it and there's plenty of it and you don't
right.
need to include the meat.
Yeah, and even like we have gotten to the point where we can do it vegan, because I just found at the grocery store not too long ago, there's this stuff called Just Egg mm-hmm. that's a vegan egg substitute, and it scrambles up just like a scrambled egg, but it's made of mung beans, and it's it's really good.
Good.
Like, especially nice. If you mix it into like making a breakfast sandwich or whatever, where there's a bunch of other stuff, then that's, you know,
sure.
it's pretty indistinguishable, so you can do it.
So what's your percentage between you and London? You think it's 50-50?
I would say, well, in terms of duties, probably 60-40. Because she definitely, well, if you're not counting breakfast at least, because I'm breakfast probably 80% of the time at least. Mm-hmm. But so not counting that, specifically just kind of talking about dinner, because that's where the prep and everything is. I will, whenever I can, I try to do the prep, at least the chopping and all that stuff, because that's what sucks about being vegan. You can't just slap some meat in the grill.
Yeah,
you have to spend 45 minutes chopping yep. mushrooms and carrots and potatoes, and it takes five ever to get
How
all that
stuff
done.
How long are you guys going to do this thing? Is there an end to this, or is this just full-on lifestyle now?
Sadly, I don't think so, because it has made London feel a lot better. So I don't really see that going away. I think we have loosened up a little bit. We'll have kind of cheat days and stuff where we don't do the vegan thing, but it's pretty much going to be until further notice. Much like the lockdown in California, there is no end date. So
okay.
I have a feeling it's going to be like this for a while, which honestly, I'm pretty okay with. I've started to really enjoy it, especially now that there's just getting to be some pretty decent vegan recipes out there. It's just the time that's the problem, because you have to make everything from scratch.
It's the full-on vegan thing, man. Because like, I could see the vegetarian part of it, but the full-on vegan, I mean, that is such a commitment. Good for you if you can do it for the rest of whatever. But the,
yeah.
like an egg, is that going to really send you over the top?
Well, especially for her, she has a slight egg allergy, she found out. She just did okay. one of those wellness test things, so she actually
Man,
has.
Good for you guys.
Yeah, well, it was worth it to at least know. But the problem is then, too, she found out she has an allergy to soy, which sucks
oh,
when you're vegan, because that means no tofu, no edamame. You know, soy is in almost everything that's vegan, so that's actually limited her a lot, too. So it's been a big old struggle from that standpoint as well.
Huh.
But it's interesting, because I've actually, since lockdown, I feel like I've actually done a little bit more of the cooking, and I've kind of enjoyed it. It's actually turned out pretty well, but normally I'm just scared to do, like you said, I'm kind of scared to do the complicated stuff. I'll do the spaghetti, no problem. I'll do tacos. I'll do burger night. I can do that kind of thing, but when it comes to a recipe, especially something we haven't done before, I am more reticent to do it.
So who's the better cook?
Oh, London for sure. Because she has this magical ability due to her Cajun blood where she just she just knows. I swear, I'm not exaggerating. I think she actually might have a superpower where she will get over the pot. Like it looks like it's out of a movie. She'll take the top off of the stock pot and she'll just sort of waft it into her nose. And then she'll like sniff for a few seconds. It's like Cajun ratatouille. She'll sniff at it and go, okay. And then she goes over to the spice drawer and starts just taking things out and sniffing them one by one. And then something she'll put back. And then something she'll take out and put on the counter. And then suddenly she has this spice blend that is nowhere to be found in the recipe. and she just starts dabbling stuff in there, tasting as she goes. And by the time it's done, it's 100 times better than what the recipe said that it was going to be. And yeah. every
See,
once in a
that's
while.
That's what I try to do. I do pretty good. My ratio is pretty good, but every once in a while, it's a little, I shouldn't have put the cayenne in there or something.
Right. You know? Yeah. I'd say 1 in 20 times, it'll come out a little too salty. For right. some reason, like maybe, sure. you know, the bottle slipped or whatever and it, you know, too much came out. But
what
for
do
the
you
most
think
part,
about, oh, sorry.
Well, I was going to, for the most
this
part,
I, hard.
Yeah, I know. I hate this delay. For the most I, part, sorry. I'm, no, I'm, shut up, Brett. Let me talk. Get a word in edgewise. Doggone it. Then I can't remember what I was going
to
say.
Wait, so what I was trying
Forget
to say.
What... Yeah, go ahead, Brett, because now I forgot. I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead. Oh. You win.
I'm sorry. I wasn't even trying to win.
I know, but you always do.
No. I don't even remember what I was going to say either. So this is a, you know, here we go.
Well, I guess we're just going to sit in silence while one of us remembers what the other person was going to try to say.
Fine. I don't know. I don't even remember, man.
Whatever, Brett.
Maybe I was going to say, well, maybe this was it. I don't know if this was it or not, but what do you think about the idea that people are probably learning how to or getting better at cooking for themselves and their families during this time? Because, you know, I know order out, support local business, all that, but I got to tell you, we've only ordered out once during this entire thing.
No way.
One time, and it was for lunch, and we got like Thai food because I wasn't going to try to make pad Thai and stuff. And yeah. it was delicious and wonderful and everything, but we just haven't been. One, we've been saving a lot of money.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of nice. And two, we've just been enjoying it, making new stuff and cooking and everything.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there's other people out there who maybe weren't even cooking at all before this, really ordering out all the time, but in this have been sort of forced to, and then are enjoying the learning of it or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
know.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. It's funny because it does. Well, it depends how you grocery shop, I guess, but there's the argument for eating out where it's yes, it support your local businesses and also have it delivered to your door. So you're not having yeah. to go to the grocery store and shop right. for all this stuff. Because that's the problem. I don't want to spend the extra money on Instacart. And for some reason, I feel guilty having other people do my grocery shopping for me because I know what a pain in the butt it is. Because of doing the vegan and organic thing, you have to find so many substitutions for stuff.
Yeah.
And especially while the supply chain is kind of messed up, there's a lot of things that are just out. So
yeah,
when I do the grocery shopping, I'm calling London like 10 times per trip saying they don't have this. What about this instead? And yeah. it's the same thing if you're having someone else do the shopping for you and they know even less because they don't have the context of what you're trying to achieve. So
yeah, that could be tough. We've been doing just the pickup. We've just been.
Oh, yeah.
We've been like telling going on. Well, Ralph's is the local grocery store chain around yeah. here. But so they have their own app. So we've been going on the Ralph's app and then saying what we want. And then they do this thing where they have these parking stalls right in front of the store. It's always really done in a nice, seamless way. And you just pull in and you call them, you say, hey, I'm in slot number 3. It's order number whatever. And then you open up the back of the car. They come put the bags in and you leave. It's great.
That's pretty nice.
It's really great. And it's free too.
Wow.
Wow. So, little tip for everybody out there. And you have to, you know, you make your order on Sunday and then you pick it up on Wednesday or Thursday. I mean, you kind of have to be
Oh, wow, interesting.
In that kind of a way.
I
but
see.
If you know what you want coming up and you can kind of keep adding and subtracting to the list and whatever, but then the best part is you pay for it all in the app, so you literally just pop the back hatch or pop the trunk or whatever and they put it in and then off you go. And
wow.
Yeah,
that's
it's
pretty nice.
I think it's yeah, I mean, I think it's been good. And, you know, to be honest, like the employees, like, I mean, they, you know, they're the ones doing the shopping for you and stuff. So they have to do that, but that's their job. And also, I would imagine that they'd rather do that than have all these people coming into the store, because then that puts everybody at a higher risk if more people are going in, right?
Right. So, yeah. No, for sure. That's definitely the healthier way to do it. I'm going to have to look into
that.
It's
been good for us. Yeah.
Yeah. I will definitely try to see if our store does that. I'm not sure if there's no slots, or I know there's no parking spots or anything that say, here's pickup, but maybe they still do it like in the context of all this stuff. I'll have to look into that.
Well, we've driven out too. Like, we've done pickups all the way out in Thousand Oaks and then up in like Northridge. Like, we've been kind of wherever, like, I think on their app, it tells you like, oh, this place has a slot from this time to this time or whatever. And you're like, all right, sweet, I'll grab it. And
oh,
so it's kind of like a,
so it's almost like you're making a reservation at a parking spot.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool.
It's pretty cool. Check it out. I think a lot of the stores are doing that too. You should check your local, because Ralph's, I think, is Kroger, right? Which is the national brand.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
We have to wrap this up though, buddy.
We do?
Yeah. We're out of time on this episode.
Dang, that happened quick. Okay. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, to our rambling conversation of fear and cooking and awkward silence when we make each other forget what we were going to say. We'll do it again next week. How about that? Here on Radioactive Dads. If you want to send more listener questions in so that we can check our DMs and talk about what it is that you want us to talk about, feel free. It's at Radioactive Dads on Twitter or Instagram, or send us an email, radioactivedads@gmail.com, and we'd love to talk about whatever's on your mind. And until then, we will see you next week. Thank you for listening.
Bye. Sweet.